We had two missions. One was to send a clear signal to Saddam, and the other was to degrade the capacity of Saddam to injure our pilots. I believe we succeeded in both those missions.
President Bush answering a question during his first news conference, this one about the airstrikes that he ordered against Iraq last Friday. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the press conference Thursday was called on pretty short notice, an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's very short notice for people in the White House.
Yeah, and it ended right on schedule, which, of course, is not what we're accustomed to.
And started on schedule.
All right, neither of which are we necessarily accustomed to over the past 8 years. There have been so many open jokes about what I'll refer to as President Bush's powers of expression. How did he do in this first press conference?
Well, in a general sort of way, he had clearly studied hard for this first examination from the press, came off well in terms of holding his own on things. He talked up his budget speech, which is what he wanted to talk about. The speech next Tuesday didn't allow himself to be drawn to talking about the Clinton pardons, of which I imagine we'll be talking a little bit later. And if his aim was, however, to recover some of the limelight from the Clintons, well, he didn't really quite succeed. He was not very sure-footed on foreign policy, especially on Iraq.
Okay, well, I want to ask about that because, of course, there's a development much in the news this week. There have been indications that the Chinese have been helping to install fiber optic cables to assist Iraq's air defense system.
Right. Well, let's go back. He was totally mystifying to me on the whole subject of Iraq, having several times said that the airstrikes 8 days ago were routine. This time he said they weren't routine at all. They were meant to downgrade the anti-aircraft capacity. They were meant also to send a message, a signal, a clear signal to Saddam Hussein. He admitted that sanctions against Iraq are not working, like full of holes as a Swiss cheese, he suggested, and they're probably going to be cut back. But then he said that Saddam Hussein shouldn't draw any conclusions from that, shouldn't interpret that as meaning we're soft. I think that Saddam Hussein will probably draw the conclusions that he will withdraw from the fact that the sanctions are basically collapsing. Now, you asked about the Chinese fiber optic cables. He was rather mystifying on that, too. He said, for example, that that wasn't a very good thing, and they were going to send a message to China, and they expected China to remedy the situation. Well, they weren't going to send a message to China. There already had been a message sent to China, and China had provided no reply. He said he would refer further questions to his National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, who apparently didn't want to get into any more trouble and said that she had nothing to add. Now, also, this whole business with the Chinese fiber optic cables apparently was raised with the Chinese as long ago as last January, meaning that our new administration has not been very quick about apprising the American public of something that appears to be troublesome.
I'm not clear on one thing. Maybe you can help me. Are these fiber optic cables that have been assembled in China, or no, there are Chinese civilians or military people on the ground?
There are both people, military people in uniform and also civilians. They are all technicians who know a lot more about fiber optic cables than I know. And the very interesting thing is that the fiber optic cables should make the anti-aircraft system somewhat more immune to being attacked. What we're faced with here is if all this is true and they are doing that, the Chinese may at some point be responsible for helping to shoot down an American plane.
Exactly.
And then, of course, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of trouble. But I'm afraid that our president did not make the situation with regard to that very clear. But before we leave foreign policy, I think I should add that the president, the British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, had what looked like a very cordial meeting at Camp David yesterday. And that's kind of interesting because it's the first time in a long time that you have a British Prime Minister and American president from different parts of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. And it seems that the United States will now withdraw some of its opposition to a European Defense Force. They made some progress on that. They apparently did not succeed in reconciling their views on the missile defense system. And that, to carry the thing further, Secretary of State Colin Powell, who has just started a trip to the Middle East, is discussing missile defense with the Russian Foreign Minister Ivanov in Cairo today. And I don't know how that's going, but I imagine you want to go back to President Bush.
Yeah, at least for a moment. Did he make much progress in trying to enlist full support for his tax plan on Capitol Hill?
Well, he doesn't have the votes in the Senate yet, and we won't know that. We don't even quite know what's in the tax plan, in his whole budget plan, which is presenting to a joint session of Congress on Tuesday. This would be, if another year, would be the State of the Union message. But since the State of the Union has to be about the past year,
right,
he doesn't get to deliver it as state. But he is delivering what you can call sort of the virtual State of the Union message. And he's in some trouble on some parts of his plan. We know there are a bunch of billionaires who don't want to repeal the estate tax or against that. There are some people saying we should have a trigger to stop tax cuts in case the budget surplus begins to look too questionable and all of that. I think this is only the beginning. What's going to be 5 or 6 months of struggling, trying to come to terms, and I think there will be some kind of tax cut at the end, but don't ask me what kind.
Reporters just could not get the president to bite on talking about the pardons issued by his predecessor.
That's correct, other than to say we go forward. That's a standard line on that. We are going forward on that. But
The velocity of the whole crisis increased this week. I called it a crisis. I mean, the revelation that Hugh Rodham had received, was it $400,000,
mm-hmm,
for helping to secure clemency, $400,000, which he's now given back. President Clinton's half-brother, Roger Clinton, had sought pardons for his friends. There are other shoes to drop.
Well, I guess the family that pardons together stays together. I mean, we now have the president. We now have his wife involved. We have his brother involved. We have her brother involved. And the end is not yet, because what's next is that it turns out today that the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Manhattan, mm-hmm, Mary Jo White, appointed by President Clinton, is expanding her criminal investigation now to include the commutation of the sentences for 4 Hasidic Jews whose community up there in New York went overwhelmingly to Mrs. Clinton in the Senate race. She invited some of their leaders to the White House. They met President Clinton, presumably to discuss clemency for the 4 convicted Hasidim who did get clemency indeed. And I don't know what will come of all the criminal investigation that's going on. A quid pro quo is very hard to prove legally. Mm-hmm. I would expect, however, that Bill Clinton and perhaps Senator Clinton will be invited to testify before a Senate committee.
Right. Of course, the FBI arrested one of their own this week.
Yeah.
Robert Hansen, arrested on charge of spying for the Soviets and later Russia for 15 years without trying to prejudge his guilt or innocence. From what the FBI has laid out, how damaging has this network of spying been?
Oh, it's much worse, if all true, and much worse than the whole Aldrich Ames thing, because this is not just a matter of betraying agents, which is bad enough, but betraying surveillance techniques and codes and whole systems that made the whole secret community communications now look as though it was an open book to the Russians. Very bad. Quite remarkable that in 15 years that Hansen himself was never submitted to a lie detector test, but Director Louis Freeh at the FBI doesn't like lie detector tests, thinks they're bad for morale. Mm-hmm. And I'm minded, in fact, of Secretary of State George Shultz in the Reagan administration, who I think threatened to resign if he was obliged to take a lie detector test. And so they're picking themselves up. They'll find other ways of getting more security. And the problem is always to get security without giving away what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Dan Shore. Yeah.